are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. This is your favorite Five and Out host, Wesley Whitaker, coming at you with something new, something fresh, something exciting. It's Steve and I's off week, so I decided to do something different. I brought fellow improvisers Sean Buckley and Colleen Perry on, and we are all part of the musical improv slash sketch group Bagel Country. And we have put together a musical sketch show that is honestly one of our favorite things that we've ever done. So we talk a little bit about that, and then we go into our top five of the week, which is our top five comfort content. We have a lot of show to get to, so let's get to it. Sean, so off mic, you were telling us one of your darkest day stories. Can you just give us a quick recap?
Absolutely. Well, so there was one Thursday morning when I was on my way to work after a night of heavy drinking, and I had been texting my friend all morning going, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. This is going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. And we're pulling into the station, and I make eye contact with the garbage can that I had every intention of running to and vomiting into. Mm-hmm. But the doors open, and I just vomit on the train. It's rush hour. There's people. It got on people.
Wait. So when you say vomit on the train, you don't mean vomit off to the side of the train station. You mean on the train.
Just on the floor. On myself. It was bad. And I am a very accommodating person, so my reaction was to very calmly make eye contact with most of them and just say, I'm so sorry. Is everyone all right? And then I immediately left the train. Mm-hmm. And I went to a Starbucks that's right by the station, and because I had to wash the vomit off. And I came out, and of course there was a coworker getting coffee, because that's how the universe works. Mm-hmm. And she was like, how are you? And I was like, super. Do I smell like vomit by any chance? And she goes like, no, why? And in retrospect, many have told me, and I have accepted, that a proper response would have been, because I just threw up in the bathroom. But what I did was say, because someone threw up on me on the train. And implying that I was covered in a stranger's vomit. And this attracted a crowd, and two strangers getting coffee were like, what? That's terrible. And I was like, guys, come on. Everyone has mornings. We've all been there, right? And so, and then I spent the rest of the day just trying not to move. So I just want everyone to know out there, if you're hungover, it can be so much worse.
Just let it out. Sometimes you just gotta let it out.
Hold it in until you get to the trash can.
There you go.
It was right there.
Oh my God. Since Thanksgiving is coming up, have either of you ever eaten until you vomited? Yes. I don't know why we're starting with all this vomit talk, but let's get into it.
If you are.
Yeah, I'm so down.
Colleen, have you?
Only when I was like a kid, you know. I think, remember those Butterfinger BBs?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
a little,
yes.
Man, we were on a road trip one time. I think we were driving to Alabama, and fucking chubby Colleen was like, yeah, got me a whole bag. I was fucking stoked. I ate them all, and yeah, then I threw up. I can't fucking touch Butterfingers, dude.
I think 5 years ago, which, you know, is way too old to be eating until you throw up, because you should know how your body works.
You gotta know your limits at this point.
Yeah, you should. I was at Thanksgiving, and it was the last Thanksgiving I ever spent with my family. I don't know if this is why, but I ate so much. Exactly. I never got invited back. I just discovered how much I liked green bean casserole, and I had like three helpings of it.
Oh God!
And then I just had to lay down, and then my stomach was like, "Nope, too much,
Wes.
go back up. Oh, it's coming back."
Green
beans back. Ooh, this is fun.
Cool.
Sean,
mine was adult as well. I was in college, so I was 18. So like. Barely. And
you were 28.
No,
like me.
I was a freshman in college, and I had done a tech rehearsal, and like, I don't know how guys did tech rehearsals for you guys in college, if you did them, but there was always snacks for us because we were sitting up in the tech booth, and they realized we were miserable for 12 hours in the tech booth, so they'd give us gummy bears and chocolate, and I just kept eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really think about how much I'd eaten, so I got back to my dorm and was like, God, you know, I've been sitting still all day. I should do crunches. So I did crunches, and the combination of all that junk food and crunches apparently didn't work. And so I was trying to write an essay, and I was like, oh, no. And so I went to throw up. But my favorite part of the story was that my future roommate came in to hear me throwing up, and she's like, Sean, my first reaction was, oh, my God, Sean's a bulimic.
Oh, no.
Do I have to save her? And she was, like, fully ready to, like, sit me down and be like, you're beautiful. And, like, and I literally came out and was like, I had so many gummy bears and then I had crunches. And she was like, thank God I don't have to save someone. But that was the, yeah.
So many gummy bears and then you decided to exercise.
Yeah, yeah, because I was like, I ate like a monster today and sat still. I should exercise.
Oh, sure.
I just made it so much worse.
So if we can move past the vomit talk, unless anybody else has...
Keep on. No,
Colleen, make sure you're talking in the microphone there. It's fine. It's fine. So Thanksgiving's coming up. Do you guys have any big plans?
No.
I know, exactly right. It's like I'll probably have a big meal with family
that.
And friends.
I'm like really excited to not have big plans.
Yeah. Are you guys not going... So you're not going home to your families?
No.
Yeah. My friends and I have like an orphan Annie Thanksgiving.
Fun.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We invite Shirley Temple over and she sings for us. It's great.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Damn.
Is she still alive?
That's exactly what I was just wondering. I was just like dead eyeing you like,
if she's dead, you're really a fucking dick, man.
We summon her spirit. It's great.
It's she's doing so well if she's alive.
Okay, let's...
Should we move straight from this to maybe Shirley Temple's death?
So I go to St. Louis for Thanksgiving.
Yay!
And it's fine. It's like the only time of year I see my family, so it's like less awkward now that we're adults and can like drink and it makes it easier.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. But I almost always look forward more to the Friendsgivings that I have here because like that's the people that I actually want to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's people that I'm told I should be thankful for. They're all great humans. They're all great, but I just don't know them very well.
Sure.
So, but it's great for I love it because my mom loves it because it's the only time of the year she sees her family and she like actually grew up with most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, it's like a really big thing. So I like going for her.
I remember... It was such a relief when I realized that I was an adult and I no longer had to go back to Thanksgiving with the family. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can just hang out with friends.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Fine.
That's allowed now.
That's allowed
Hell
now.
Yeah, because, you know, spending time with the family is so fun, but holidays are just so stressful.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know, it's just fucking stressful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, take a random long weekend in May. You know,
sure.
Weather's beautiful. You don't have to worry about any of that shit.
Sure,
make the time some other time.
That's the one thing I do miss. Like, I'm glad now that we have, like, autonomy and can be like, no thank you to those kinds of things. But I do miss, even though it was a requirement when, like, the stress wasn't there and it was just like, I'm just given things and food and then I go home. Like, I do miss being unaware of, like, the family politics and all of that. As much as you could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I miss that.
Sure, sure. Being unaware of the family drama was nice.
It was.
Eating at the kids' table.
Yes.
Oh, the old kids' table.
And then the parents just came back and they were like wobblier, but you didn't know why. And like, he was like, okay, mom, you just seem happier now.
Okay.
They're drinking that weird smelling juice.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm also happy. I had a lot of cake and pie.
Sure.
All the pie.
Right?
So are you guys sticking around in Chicago or are you going back to St. Louis?
St. Louis. I'm leaving tomorrow and I'm coming back Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm staying here and I'm going to make a turkey
for
like me and my boyfriend and like a friend or two.
Sure.
But nothing crazy.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Just making the food.
If you could just be a little bit more excited about making the turkey.
I'm just cooking for friends and feel and joy.
So thank you both for coming over to the far north side in Chicago to talk about this show that I'm actually very excited about. And I say actually because all the other shows I do, most of them, I'm just like, you can come. Or you don't have to, really. But
sure.
This fucking show right here, I had to have a couple people over to talk about this.
Yay!
So for those of you who don't know, which how would you, because we haven't said it yet, we all three of us are in the wrapping up the Music Improv Conservatory. And what is the name of our group? Does anybody know? Because I think it changes every single week.
I think it's Tiny Batman versus Bagel Country as of right now.
I've been telling people Bagel Country.
Bagel Country, I like Bagel Country. It rolls off the tongue. Mm-hmm. As Tiny Batman is just too, like in fucking 3 months, people are going to be like, what? What was that? Bagel Country is timeless.
Sticks with you.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's timeless.
It's a tale as old as time.
Batman's going to grow up, but that country is going to be bagel forever.
So we put together a really rocking sketch show that's going to be at Donnie Skybox in Second City every Sunday at 8 o'clock. So please come out and see it. Yes. We got some show-stopping numbers. Colleen has the show-stopping number.
It really is. It seriously is.
In a group of show-stopping numbers. Yeah.
It really is a group of show-stopping numbers. Mm-hmm. I kind of realized that we had our opening night last night, which is why the three of us are roughing it a wee tit today.
We're winning today. The day.
A wee tit today.
We had a really good opening night, but... I don't know. I realize that everyone has, like, their shining moment. And there are a lot of numbers that, yeah, speak to one person and something that they've overcome or something that they're still overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the numbers end in triumph, you know?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Kind of triumphing those things. And it's just a really fun show to watch because I think it's really relatable.
Absolutely.
Definitely. The anxiety through line is palpable.
And it's... What I think is so cool is that we all love it. And I was actually saying the same thing last night, that I think it's super exciting that this isn't just a show I'm like, come see it because you love me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come see this show because I think you'll have a really good time.
Definitely.
Because like I love every part of it, which I think doesn't always happen with any sketch show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a show that I would enjoy just watching because I get a kick out of every number every night.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like there's every song... is amazing, and every person has a moment to shine, and it's just so great. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling, I think, my girlfriend that, yeah, most shows I just kind of throw an event up on Facebook. I don't invite anybody to it because I had that weird anxiety of, everyone has so many invites, and everyone, you know. So I just throw it up. But I've actually been reaching out and calling people and texting people because, like you were saying, I feel like you really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But Colleen, you're also not just doing this show, right? You have another show going on?
That's right. That's right.
Was that a good setup? Did you like that?
It was so smooth.
Just you know hand what? It off to you.
Wes, are you a professional segue maker?
Yeah.
Like, damn. Speaking of shows... Colleen,
dude, that was smooth as silk until you interrupted it by stroking your ego.
My segue ego.
I wouldn't say stroking it. I think more just like punching it. Like, was that good?
Yeah.
Tell me, was this fun for you?
Tell me I'm talented at segues.
Make me feel better about that.
Yeah, it was.
So, Colleen, you have a show.
I do. I do. I definitely do. I am part of Infinite Sundays, which is the Second City's music house ensemble. And we've been together for the better part of a year now, and we've written a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's an all-women cast, and we have written a 45-minute satirical musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's called A Better Brothers Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
It runs until December 22nd, Friday nights, 9 o'clock in Judy's Beat Lounge. Come check it out. It's fun.
And what's the musical about?
Well,
nobody knows.
It's an enigma.
It's there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good word. I guess if I had to just like put a one word thing on it, it's about feminism.
Okay.
It's about I think all the different ways that you can be a feminist.
As someone totally uninvolved in the show, I also go see it. It's so fun. It's so good. There's so many moments where like I was with my friend and we just kept going, yes, that it's
good, silly fun.
It's the entire, like the fact that the group is all women is so cool and special because Infinite Sundays isn't always all women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the show is so fun and the music is really good. So as someone completely uninvolved that has no stake in it, go see it. It's
Thanks,
great.
Sean.
I remember seeing a preview of it And even just when you came, would come out and be like, okay, so this is what happens, this is what happens, and this is a song about this. Like, even that was really enjoyable.
Nice. Well, then you should come see the show.
I don't know. Right. I don't think so. I saw the preview. I know what happens.
We pretty much get it. But there's like puppets and...
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
This Witches. Is not a spoiler about the content, but there is a number where it is one person doing a duet with herself and her puppet. And it's awesome.
You're right. Maybe I'll come see it again for
give
that.
Give it a check-a-rooney.
Yeah, give it a check-a-rooney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good word. All right, so we've covered everything so far. We've covered feminism. We've covered vomit. Mm-hmm. We've covered Shirley Temple. We just found out during the break that she is dead.
Super
so
dead.
I'm the asshole.
Yeah, you are.
Not
if
only
it helps,
that,
we also didn't know. So we were also sitting here going, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the looks of worried worries on your faces.
I was like, yeah, I don't know about like, that.
Wes, tread lightly.
We're all assholes here. It's okay.
We've been going for a while. Let's move to this week's top five, which is our top five. Colleen, you brought this in. Our top five comfort content, I think we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... basically, you could probably give a better description, but content that we watch, it's a troubled world out there right now. Just these are things we can put on to make ourselves feel better. So, Colleen, since you brought this in, can you start with our number five?
Yes. Well, my number five, I'm going with a song.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cliche, so don't judge me on the first one that I say, everybody out there. All right? I got depth, so give me a break.
Okay.
My number five favorite song to listen to when I'm feeling down is Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Judgment.
I know.
Judgment.
I'm joking.
I know.
Also, your number four is the movie Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon.
Good old Reese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bless her.
Number three is that other song about Alabama.
Yeah, and then number two is the Alabama Shakes, the band. They're so good, dude. They're so fucking good.
No, I'm not judging. That's great. But I want to hear. I want you talk about
that. Yeah, I don't know. Well, most people who know me know that I have a lot of family in Alabama and have been visiting Alabama since I was a baby. And.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just very nostalgic for me in a way that is comforting, you know. And
yeah.
I was listening to the radio the other day. I was driving around, and it was that day that it snowed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, so gross out. But, I mean, kind of magical, whatever. But Sweet Home Alabama came on. And I don't know. It's just, like, I felt that feeling, you know, when like I used to go on road trips and I would play that song and just be like so fucking stoked.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just that feeling of familiarity.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gross and magical. Those were two different adjectives.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. That's awesome. I didn't know you had family in Alabama.
So I guess you don't know me very well.
Know you. Who are you again?
Guys, a lot's being revealed.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Truth time.
All right. So your number five is Sweet Home Alabama, the song.
Yes. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Got it. Sean, your number five.
So my number five is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of content, I've noted that other than, like, the song I have, it's entirely comedies because that's what I go to when I need to, like, relax and decompress.
Mm-hmm.
So my number five is the film Rat Race.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of my all-time favorite movies. And there's some, I mean, I think a lot of what I notice about my comfort content is it's stuff that, like, I don't need to watch anymore because I've seen it so many times that I could just play it in my head. And Rat Race is definitely one of those movies for me. And it's just, it's so funny and it's so silly and dumb. And every part of the story to me, like, I'll forget one of them.
Sure.
Like, this last time I watched it was a couple weeks ago, and I'd totally forgotten about the Cuba Gooding Jr., like, plot. And so, like, that particularly delighted me. If you've never seen it, he's a disgraced football referee who gets lost in the desert and hijacks a bus full of people dressed like I Love Lucy.
Oh,
and
that's right.
It's just like you just forget. And
yeah.
And it's like it's just utter nonsense. It's like a farce in film form. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a great cast too.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, I think it's just like just utter nonsense, and it just takes me away from any stress I have. So that's my number five.
Rat Race is one of those movies that I watch, and I never think about it again for years, and then someone brings it up, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to watch that.
Yeah.
Oh god, I'm gonna burp. Oh, Disgusting. No, disgusting.
That was impressive.
We're letting it out. Well, we're letting it out.
So, yes, that's my number five.
Rat Race, number five. Great. My number five is something that you got me into, Sean.
I'm excited.
It's a little show called Doctor Who.
Yes!
Now, I don't know, I bet you guys feel the same way, where you're just so busy, you don't have a lot of time to just sit down and chill a lot of time. So totally. I tend to want to watch new things, but even though, you know, I think I'm about to start the seventh season of Doctor Who, I just love it. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me feel all warm inside when I watch it.
I'm very proud of myself for getting you into the show. Side note. Go on.
It's great. I'm on Matt Smith right now, and I just want his little tweety ass, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, cuddle me, tuck me into bed.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes.
Can I ask who his companion is right now? Are you on Clara yet?
I know. I just wrapped up Karen Gillan's seasons, I think.
Oh, so you got to to Rory and Amy's goodbye? Did you get there yet?
No.
Shh, never mind.
Spoiler. Sean.
Companions leave. This is not a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
They leave. You've seen many companions leave.
Yeah, but it's always sad.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not spoiling anything.
I just jumped on the bandwagon. I've never seen Doctor Who before.
I wasn't like, oh gosh, did they blow up already? No, because they don't. But
okay.
Companions leave.
Sure. You know what? When you put it like that, you make me sound like an idiot. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But I'm glad you love it.
Who's your favorite companion?
Donna.
Thank you. Me too.
But Rory and Amy are like my second, I think.
But they're good.
But
they're
them is them together. Like when Rory comes back as the Centurion, spoilers for Doctor Who, then their pairing with Matt Smith is amazing.
Yeah.
So
real good.
They're a close second for me.
Do you have a favorite Doctor Who episode?
Oh. Oh my. Okay.
Oh God, sorry.
I have two. It's probably a tie. Now I'm just mad I didn't put Doctor Who on my list. I know.
Yes.
The Silence in the Library is one of my favorite all-time episodes.
So good.
It's so good, but it's one that I forget is so emotional, so I don't go back and watch it a lot, because when I do, I just weep. Because it's, especially once you learn about River Song, it's so destroyingly emotional.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. If you go back and watch it now, you're going to be like, oh God, he doesn't understand. And I don't know if you know this, but in that episode, the director told the actress playing River Song the whole story and told David Tennant nothing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the whole conceit of this episode is, because he's a time traveler, this woman meets him and has known him for years, and he has no idea who she is yet. So the director was able to tell her, here's how you know him, here's what you've gone through, and he knew nothing. And so it's like... It's so, and then as the show goes on, you learn about this character, and it's like, it's just heartbreaking. But the one that I watch the most is Blink.
Oh, so good.
It's such a great episode. It has like no stakes in anything else that happens in the show, but it's so good. So.
Really good. So that's my number five, Doctor Who.
Yay.
Yes. Yay, tangents.
Yes. Colleen, number four.
Number four for me is a film. Detroit Rock City. Okay.
Sorry. I was about to say, does it star Reese Witherspoon and Matthew McConaughey?
Did she go back
to
Alabama?
I missed the joke. Damn it.
God, let's take it back. That's roll right. It again. So Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City.
I've never seen that movie.
Neither have I.
A lot of people haven't. It's a little hidden gem, as far as I'm concerned, at least. It's about these four high school dudes. It's set in, I think, like 1978. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get to a Kiss concert, and the whole movie is just watching them try and fail and try again to make their way into this Kiss concert, and they split up and you follow them all on their own personal journey, and it's very much like a coming of age story with a lot of classic rock.
Is it more of a comedy or a drama?
Oh, hell yeah. No, totally comedy. All comedy. Yeah. It's like, It's a teen movie, you know. Yeah. I guess I'm a little immature.
Oh no,
you know, like,
it's totally fine.
Yeah, you're good. No, it's coming of age movie. I would say
it sounds like a road trip movie.
Yeah. There is a road trip. Hey,
I listen.
Can I ask how old you were when you first saw it? Like, is it like a nostalgic thing?
It is again. Okay. Yep, it is totally. Yeah, it's a nostalgic thing for sure. I think I was like 13, probably 12, probably about their age. Yeah, like maybe a little younger.
Aww.
Sure.
But yeah, it was the music that got me at first.
Yes.
You know, fucking Kiss.
Yeah. How often do you still watch it?
It is one of the few movies that I have on DVD. It's from a Blockbuster.
Yes.
That I never returned.
Oh, no.
And it's all scratched up, man. It's really scratched up. I probably watch it, I mean, you know, when I'm feeling down, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on average.
Careful.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, it's so really revealing every night. Every night before bed.
I have it on in the morning.
I'll say once a month. Cool. Something like that.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah.
Number four, Detroit Rock City. I wish I could comment more on it, but I just don't know anything about it.
Oh, no, that's fair. Check it out.
We'll do.
Check it.
We'll do. I hear that you have a DVD from Blockbuster I could borrow.
Yeah, but hey, it's pretty scratched up. So.
Oh, yeah.
I can explain the parts where it skips. Line for line. And song for song. So we're in the clear.
Oh, nice.
That might make it better.
All right, so Sean, your number four.
Yes, my number four is a song. And it's rare that I actually have a song that I go back to frequently, because the way I listen to music is I'll pick like a song or an album and listen to it until it's dead to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like years later, I listen to it again. But this one song, it's called I Can Lift a Car by Walk the Moon, and which is my favorite band. And it's a comfort song for me, because I started listening to it during this one summer when I was having a really hard time with my family. And it would just immediately calm me. And it's very soothing. And then also, like, the chorus is all about, like, I can lift this car all by myself. And so it's just like, I got this. And so it's, like, motivating while also very soothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a song that I specifically will listen to when I'm having, like, really bad anxiety. And, like, if I can't get to, like, anything else, it's a song that I know I have on my phone. I can just put on it. I can just be like, okay. So it's the only of the comfort content that is not comedy-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, I recommend it. It's a great song.
Does this just make you feel better? Is it more of an emotional release?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's very soothing. Like, I don't know. I think it makes me, like, sink. Like, it's like, I can just focus on this now, and I can just, like, be in the song.
Mm.
And because everything but the chorus is very, like, da 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 da. So, like, it's very soothing. That was my spot-on impression of the song.
My God, it's like I was listening to it.
Yes. And then when you hear the chorus, it gets to, like, the, like, you can do it part.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little more just like, yeah, I'm also strong. I'm, like, sinking into this chair and feeling safe, but also I'm strong. And I don't know. I think it's kind of thing you have to listen to, like, I don't know. But yeah, that's been one that I can consistently go back to.
Very cool. So my number four is a show that doesn't quite hold up, so I kind of feel guilty watching it.
Oh, I'm ready. Oh,
it's God. Friends.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say the Cosby Show.
Dude. Same. That's exactly what I thought he was going to say.
I was like, dude, like, why you gotta making yourself look like an asshole? Shirley Temple's alive, and I love the Cosby Show.
Come on, Wes.
No, right. Friends almost made it on my list, dude.
Same.
Oh, yeah?
For
okay,
sure.
Cool.
It's a comfort show for sure.
Oh, my number three is You Two right now.
Oh, I'll be there for you.
That was gross.
Yeah, I watched it. Okay, Sammy, it's okay. We just got too excited.
You didn't like my singing.
Everyone's a critic.
So, obviously, I watched the show when I was a lot younger.
Oh, yeah.
And I have the DVDs of all the seasons hidden somewhere in my DVD case. But yeah, every now and then I'll just like to go back there and be all nostalgic about it. Be like, Ross and Rachel, when are you going to get together?
The last episode.
The last
effing episode.
Which I'm sorry, but she gave up her dreams for
him.
Didn't
like that.
Yes.
And I don't like it in retrospect. I feel that.
That's tough. Now, here's a question I have for you guys. Who is the worst, about some companion, but worst relationship on the show?
On Friends?
Yeah. Ooh. Because there's only one right answer.
Okay,
see,
well.
You go first. I had an answer, but I was recently swayed by a very convincing article. So.
Okay.
See, I feel like I'm still going to say it,
you
but
say
I
it.
Think I know what it is.
Yeah.
Rachel and Joey.
Yeah, of course.
I get it, though. Because, right, like, he was definitely more supportive and better. But I also was like, come on, guys, you fucking reach
him. Yeah, the thing is, like, I agree. I think in the way it was written, it was a shitty choice, and like it ended too late. But like the article that I read was how had they written it differently, Joey could have been a much better match for Rachel than Ross, because Joey was like her friend. Like, they'd known each other for 9 years at that point, and he'd never once treated her like
like, were eventually going to have sex or mm-hmm. anything like that. Mm-hmm. He let her live with him when she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. He didn't fall for her until she was pregnant. He brought out, like, the goofy side in her, and she brought out, like, a more mature side in him. And so I was like, I think it's a Twitter feed that I was like, yeah! I think what makes me more mad about that relationship is that they decided to throw it in and then immediately combust it.
Yeah.
It was like if they were going to do something so almost atrocious in the face of Ross and Rachel, they should have made it important.
Sure.
But they didn't. They just were kind of like, they're going to be a thing. Oh, wait, they don't actually want to be together.
Yeah. Didn't they try to have sex and they just couldn't do
right.
it?
Yes.
Come on,
so
people.
Two fine-looking
people.
After
they made out for like 8 hours in Barbados.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't fucking buy it.
I love Friends. But I think...
Yeah, me too. Right. Yeah. Like, it can be as flawed as it wants. I'll still...
Do you have like a least favorite character on the show?
Oh, goodness. I have to think of this.
Definitely Ross.
Yeah.
Oh, like one of the main friends?
Okay, let's do a main and then a side friend.
Fair enough. Obviously,
side friend?
Like
Gunther?
A
person?
Yes, like a,
okay,
like
right.
a secondary character.
Okay,
who's there
okay.
a lot.
All right.
It's like side babe.
Side friend. Is this like a fuck buddy? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I was like, hang on.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Like a side character.
Okay.
So, main friend, obviously, Ross.
Yes.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yes.
He sucks.
Ross, you suck!
I hope you're listening.
Guys, is David Schwimmer still alive?
Yes.
Stop that. Your eyes. You're up to like what? Hold on.
Wesley.
Yes.
I'm just like,
okay, yeah. Like a B character.
B character.
A B character. This is tough. We might have to do like a little timeout.
Oh, Emily. What about, yeah.
Oh, Emily was the fucking worst.
What, the London?
Yeah.
The London.
Yes, the England.
The Londonese person?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's the worst.
Didn't like her, dude.
She was the worst.
I liked her.
Oh, of course you did.
Remember I said you two? Remember,
being such a bully.
Are we no longer your number three?
Exactly. You're off the list.
Damn it.
You're off the
Sweet
list.
Sweet Home Alabama was Reese Witherspoon.
Is now my number three. Oh, yeah.
At least she doesn't judge my choices.
I don't know. Barry, I guess?
Which one was Barry?
Rachel's ex-husband.
Oh, yeah. He sucked.
Okay, who? Thank
he
you.
He sucks,
yeah,
too.
Mindy. Mindy was the worst.
Oh, Mindy did blow. She was the worst.
Oh, that's right. Didn't she turn her back on her best friend?
She more than turn her back, she done stab her in the back.
She also was, like, hooking up with Barry while they were still together. And then that was something you found out. And then also, like, marries him. But Rachel still goes to the wedding, which is one of my favorite episodes.
Do you guys remember when Winona Ryder was on it?
No.
As the crazy gal who... Her and Rachel had, like,
they made out in college.
Yeah. And when a writer, like, she denies it the whole episode, and then finally at the end, Rachel, like, kisses her. And when I was like, I told you this whole time.
I do remember that now.
Yeah. One of my favorites is Joey's crazy roommate. What's his face? What's his name?
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie.
Yep.
When he dries his own fruit.
Oh, my God. He takes the fish. He, like, takes the goldfish and he just puts it in his pocket.
Eddie's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That's an episode that I go back and watch a lot because I just love Joey. No, Chandler's dealing
Chandler,
with
Chandler, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy apartment.
Oh, God. And that whole resolution, that story arc where Chandler moves out, it's so sweet.
It's so sweet.
Chandler and Joey's bromance. Best romance on the show.
They're my favorites.
Absolutely.
So that's my number four, Friends.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That was a good talk.
Thank you. I did it all myself.
God, every time I fucking try to be positive.
I support you, Colleen.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
All right, well, number three. This one could have been number one if it was a different day of the week. But my number three is the hit TV show, The Office.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Good one.
God
love
it.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it before I came over here.
It's one of my go-tos as well.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, convenience, A+. It's on Netflix, right?
The day they take that off Netflix, I think the
world's
going to burn.
They won't because they know that, dude. They will not. I will see to it. But no, that it's just such, again, the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I watched it in, like, you know, high school and... Mm-hmm. All that good stuff. But the characters are what make it so
amazing.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask your feelings on the post-Michael Scott era?
That's actually where I'm at right now in my episodage. I mean, granted, this is like the 10th time I've.
Oh, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, yeah.
I have mixed feelings, you know, like I really love. Oh, shit. What's that? Erin?
Yes.
What's her name?
Mm-hmm.
What's the actress? Ellie
Kimmy Kemper? Schmidt?
Yes, yes.
Kimmy Schmidt?
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yep, Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, well, it's in the same. Yeah. Old Kimmy Schmidt. Like, you know, she's a great addition, mm-hmm. you know, and even though I miss Michael Scott, mm-hmm. I mean, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's a fucking genius, you know? Mm-hmm. I love watching him. I'm still into it. Mm-hmm. And same. The Jim and Pam thing, the tension that they find in, like, the last season, part of it, I'm like, okay, again, just the writers trying to fucking find something. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's also like this couple that you've seen yes. and looked at as perfect. They come to problems mm-hmm. as well.
And mm-hmm. I love
not just an easy solution.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They do spend like the better half of that season mm-hmm. in turmoil and in couples counseling. And it's kind of refreshing to see that.
Same.
And, you mm-hmm. know, it's like comforts you and like, wow, even this iconic couple mm-hmm. that we all know that they are destined to be together, they go through some shit too, and they're not always like great to each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
And I love that it wasn't like an affair, and it wasn't right. like, it was something so realistic, because Jim was never happy there. Mm-hmm. So of course, when he gets this offer to do another job, it was going to cause tension, because the whole source of their relationship was that job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, some people were like, I remember when it was on, I had friends that were like, I'm just so over it. And I'm like, no, this is awesome. Because like, you knew they weren't going to get it.
Come on, right?
Like, yeah. There was no way it was going to happen. Right. So I was like, it was so cool to yeah. see like a real tangible problem mm-hmm. like in a show that was like always kind of pretty grounded for the most part,
yeah mm-hmm.
like I mean absurd, but like
sure.
So I was happy to hear that you also liked that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the post Michael Scott era as well. I didn't like James Spader.
Mm-mm. Ooh,
he was
no.
just kind of weird.
Also Will Ferrell, but they figured that out quick.
Yeah,
he was in, like,
they dumped him
episodes.
Quick.
God. Again, yeah, yeah. Bless you. If you're listening, Will, I'm sorry.
I love
didn't
Elf.
Work. But you were great in Elf.
Can we do best and worst character on The Office? Your favorite and your least favorite, I guess.
Number one favorite, Dwight. Dwight till the day I die.
Yeah.
I love him.
Were you team Dwight or team Jim? Like, who would you rather bone, I guess is the question.
Jim.
Dwight or Jim?
I don't know. What? I mean, let's get weird, you know? I feel like Jim would be pretty cut and dry.
Great.
That's obviously,
fair.
He's
that's
a looker.
Fair.
Yeah. He's a handsome man.
Dwight might involve a pig. We don't know.
Okay. I don't know. All right.
Fun.
Back it up.
He
those
might.
Not my
he, okay, that's more Moe's, I guess. Moe's
yeah,
would bring a
yes.
pig.
Yeah.
I feel like
Dwight would
just
sit. It's
keep
just
me on my toes.
Be in a beet field or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Shit. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Now everyone hands like. What would you choose, Wes? Dwight or Jim?
Dwight or Jim.
Most bonable?
Yeah. Dwight or Jim?
I mean, Jim's more handsome, but again, Dwight will keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm sticking
longevity,
safe.
Longevity.
I'm sticking safety with the Jim. That's fair.
It's just strictly missionary.
It would be in a bed. I would probably
clean sheets.
Be satisfied. I wouldn't be in a beet field.
That's fair.
I would, if I had to choose the lady to bone, it would be Jim's second season girlfriend. Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous.
So your favorite character is Dwight. Do you have a least favorite? Or do you love them all?
Because
mine might be James Spader. He just never clicked for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ew, I don't like Gabe. Get out. And I'm glad they made it the running
Gabe.
Joke of the show that he was so awful. Like, at least I was like, yeah, you guys know. Yeah, fuck him, man.
He has one of my favorite lines, though, which is when Erin is sitting down to talk about a relationship, and he goes, Erin hates sex. She says it's like hugging a skeleton. Right, Erin? And Aaron's just, like, staring at the table.
Oh. Yeah, he's a...
So Gabe, a least favorite.
Yeah, get out of here.
My least favorite has to be, I don't even remember his name, James Spader's character. And
he calls himself a lizard at one point. That's all I remember.
The Lizard King.
I love that.
And it's hard for me to choose
Robert California.
Favorite,
that's his
character. Robert California. There it is.
Yeah, it brings back a lot of bad memories. I just can't choose a favorite. Probably Donna from Doctor Who. No,
I do love her character in that, though.
It's good. She's good. Probably Jim. Mm-hmm. I like Jim.
God. I think... I don't even know if I have a favorite. I feel like it's between Dwight and Creed, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
Creed is so good for the most random, beautiful moments, such as one of my favorite lines, which is, when Pam gets Michael's chair, I get Pam's chair. Then I'll have two chairs, only one to go. And it just doesn't make sense.
And they never resolve it.
No.
Never do.
Like, he's so good for those moments where it's like, if I can't do that, then I can't scuba. And if I can't scuba, what's
this
all been about?
Yeah.
he's
so
amazing.
Good.
And so yeah, I think I love him. And least favorite. Whew.
It's like choosing a least favorite child.
It is. But there are
some ugly kids out there.
Jesus.
Either James Spader or
I'm sorry.
Woman who was the woman with the big dogs. She came at the same time as Robert
Kathy
California.
Bates.
I love Kathy Bates, but I did not love that character.
That's fair.
Sure.
I just got she was the one that got old really fast. I just remember her thing was that she had dogs, and I was like,
yeah.
She was
Joe
incredible.
Bennett.
Joan Bennett. That was her, I think.
Look at you pulling these names.
That's not number three for no reason.
That was also, like, not a great era when they were, like, doing
the
printer
transition
thing.
Part of, like, Michael just left.
Yeah.
That was a little messy.
Yeah.
But then season 9, wasn't it?
I think 8 was good, too.
Yeah, because he leaves in the middle of season. When does he leave? In the middle of season 7?
He lives in the middle of 7, and then 8 has that weird period where Andy's on a boat.
Yeah.
Which was weird as fuck.
That's right.
But it did have the Florida episode, which I loved. So.
Mm.
Yes.
That's so good. Yeah.
So that's a really good number three.
That is really
clearly.
Thanks, guys.
It's
really
good number three.
Thank you.
I'm actually really glad that I didn't include, like, the ones that you guys said on my list because, like, I can talk about them and it's not repetitive. I'm going to say my number three is the John Mulaney comedy special on Netflix. New in town. It's one of my favorite comedy specials ever. I've seen it 30 times. Have you seen it? Oh,
no.
It's totally fine. It's one of my, I think John Mulaney is like one of my favorite comedians maybe ever. And it's a good one to watch, especially now that I have it memorized because I can just be like, this part is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
But the way he talks about life and the way he talks about everything is just so on my level. It's the way that I view things and it's the way that I, like, process information. So to hear someone say it back more eloquently than I ever could and in just such a relatable way, I highly recommend it. I can't even speak to it more. You've seen it, right?
Yes. I love John Mulaney's delivery. It's hard to describe
why
his delivery is so good.
It's just perfect.
It just is.
It is.
It's just perfect.
And he talks about everything. He doesn't, like... Like, nothing, I can't even describe it. Like, the stuff he'll talk about, like, it wouldn't even occur to me to make a topic that you record. Like, he talks about, like, one of my favorite bits that I always forget is in there is when he talks about how it must have been to solve a murder back in the 30s. It must have been like, detective, we found a pool of the killer's blood. Gross. Mop it up. Now, back to my hunch. And, like, it's just so funny and true and real. And, like, again, like, my go-to when I need to decompress is to laugh. And it just, no matter how many times I see it, it will make me laugh.
Sure.
So, John, he also has the second one, which is,
The Comeback Kid.
The Comeback Kid, thank you. Which is also equally as amazing, but I have a soft spot for the first one because it came out when I was in college and I just remember watching it and falling deeply in love with that man's comedy. Like, literally just his comedy. I'm deeply in love with it.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good.
He's so good.
If I had to have a stand-up special on my list, I'd put Mike Birbiglia's My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
I just watched that for the first time. I'm so sorry, Sammy.
Oh, that's way too excited.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that one? I just watched it for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago. And that you could talk about it because you brought it up.
Oh, no. I didn't even think about it, but I wish I had because it's so good because his comedy is more storytelling.
Yes.
And it's more of like a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It's so good. They're both so good.
It's so smooth and it's so casual and it's so – I've been quoting that, like, specifically the part just, I feel like you could make that happen. Like, the part – like, I wish it was just the two of us here. Like, I feel like you could make that happen.
It's really good. So that was your number three?
Three, yes.
And John Mulaney, what was
it? John Mulaney's New in Town.
Oh, so good. So my number, what are we at? My number three?
Three.
Is that where? Okay.
Yes.
So my number three is a little movie called The Avengers.
Ooh.
Now, I'm kind of a nerd.
God bless.
And I am all up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe's ass. And The Avengers should not have been able to happen, but it did. To be able to take these four pretty well-known actors, have their own standalone movies, and then bring them together, just the contracts alone had to be a headache.
Oh, God.
But it's not only did it happen, it's not even arguably one of the best superhero movies out there. And it just fills me with so much nerd glee when I watch it. I just put on like the, I just put it on sometimes just to experience it all over again. So it fills me with so much joy.
Do you have a favorite Avenger?
I feel Iron Man is my favorite Avenger. Okay. I'm definitely Team Tony in the Tony Cap debate. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
The Captain America Tony debate?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the one where they have a debate on stage. Yeah.
they debate things like pollution and things like that. Yeah. Politics.
Yeah. Very, very modern day things.
Yes. Cool.
That's just my number three. It's The Avengers.
It's good.
My dad likes The Avengers.
Oh, I like your dad now.
maybe you guys should be friends.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Jack.
I think he and I would have more in common.
Hey, but my dad segues into my next number, actually.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Is it time?
It is time.
Cool. Well, my number two is a movie.
Wonderful.
Superbad.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Which, Jesus. I mean, if I had to try to say one movie, like line for line, I think I could do it. I think I could. But the way that my dad fits in, the first time I ever saw Superbad was in theaters with my fucking dad, which I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I didn't think it was going to be so, so raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Superbad?
I haven't seen Superbad.
I have. It is raunchy.
Yeah, it is. It's quite the raunch. Quite the raunch. After
you know it's a raunch and a romp is what it is.
Yeah, hey.
It's a raunch romp?
Yeah. It's a raunch romp.
A taste of both. But I remember when we were leaving the theater, my dad was like, I can't believe that wasn't X-rated.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, really glad that I just, yeah, cool. That was a good experience.
Wait, how old were you at the time?
Oh, shit. I must have been like 17. No. A wee tot. Must have been like 17 when it came out or something.
Oh,
but we were just cool. We were like, all right, yeah, let's go see this. This movie looks funny.
Yeah.
And bless him, you know?
I still can't watch movies like that with my mom.
I mean, it
with you on
like
that
a
one.
Plan. Yeah.
Like, Dad,
and
I
you
know
can't,
what
it's
we're
not
doing.
Like when you're watching a movie like that in your house and you can be like, hey, gotta go take a piss, you know?
A 90-minute piss.
Yeah, like fuck off for, you know, at least until it gets normal again.
I think
I'm
gonna go warm up the popcorn.
Yeah. Just leave. You know, like you're kind of trapped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But. Still my favorite. Like, I fucking... That's my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
It really is. And man, as I say, it's, again, a little on the immature side.
Mm-hmm.
Another coming-of-age tale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these boys are just trying to make their way to a party and find their manhood along the way.
But it's definitely one that I feel like when you see, like, at the age, like, we were at when it came out, like, it definitely sticks with you.
Because, yeah.
Like, it's super, like, relatable and, like, and, like, the awkward.
The awkward, yeah. That's the thing. Like, it is very relatable. And it's another one where the characters are what make it great, you mm-hmm. know? Because, yeah, a coming-of-age story, blah, 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 right? But then the one-liners in that, holy shit. So fucking
They're
good.
So, do you recommend it?
Five. Oh,
five.
Yes.
Do you recommend me watching it with my mom?
Yes.
Zero five. Got it.
I would just like to see what happens, personally.
Yeah. That could be its own podcast.
Just a whole lot
watching...
of awkwardness.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, so that's your number two.
It certainly is.
Superbad.
Yes, Superbad.
I said it wrong, didn't I?
It's super good.
It's super bad.
Super bad.
Got it. Nailed it. Sean, your number two.
My number two is, it's a show, and it's probably like my all-time favorite show. It's Scrubs. It's just still one of my all-time favorite shows, And I don't think I can describe why I love it so much. One of the reasons that I really liked it when I was younger is that it was one of those, this is like a weird way to describe it, but it was one of like the first like not kids sitcoms I got into. Like, I kind of casually watched Friends when it was on, but I never really did. And, like, I watched, like, Frasier with my mom, which is an accurate thing from our show. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. But, like, with Scrubs, it was one that I discovered as a teen on my own. And it was a show that, like, adults also watched. It was on, like, Comedy Central. It wasn't on, like, Nickelodeon.
Right.
And so it was one of the shows that I got into on my own. And, like, the comedy is very up my alley. Like, it's like... Because my comedy, like, John Mulaney is very different from Scrubs, but it's, like, both are my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very emotional show, so I kind of like that because I don't often allow myself to feel. I'm very good at pretending I don't feel, and it's remarkable. And I should be studied. But what I love about Scrubs is that it's sneaky with its emotions.
Mm-hmm.
There are some episodes that I just can't watch most of the time because they will make me cry. And the finale is, in my opinion, one of the most perfect show finales. It wraps up everything very nicely in a very satisfying way. And it will make me cry every single time.
Nice.
Wow.
Every, without fail, every single time. So I think I like that it can make me laugh every time, but also, like, if I need to let myself feel, which I think we all do, we gotta let it out. It's good for that too. And I just love it.
Scrubs is one of those shows that I've tried to watch all the way through multiple times. And around season six, always around season six, season seven, I just stopped for whatever reason.
How many seasons?
I think there's eight, technically nine, but no one counts the ninth season because it was a spinoff with Interns. And it was ew.
Oh, my God.
It literally was ew. Like, I think even Zach Braff recently tweeted, like, in a reply to someone, like, we all know season nine didn't happen. Like, it's like,
yeah. It's not canon.
And so, yeah, it's like, it's one of those shows that I will understand if someone watches and just doesn't jive with, because it does have a very specific energy.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's like, oh, I've never watched it, I'm like, leave. Try. Come back when you have. Like
sure.
Okay, then we'll chat.
Yeah.
but it's one of my favorites.
This actually segues pretty nicely to my number two.
Segues.
Which is House.
Ooh. Oh, I thought you were going to say Grey's Anatomy.
That's my number one. House, I spent many years not feeling as well. And so House has a lot of... So, you know, everyone knows that House is this asshole doctor who's a genius.
Mm.
But there are a lot of episodes where they subtly slide the emotions in, and those are the episodes that I keep rewatching. In fact, I love, and also I love Hugh Laurie as House, and I love multiple seasons of that show. There are some piss poor ones, but I love, like, season four, for example, when they bring in the whole new doctor crew. I feel like there's a name I'm missing for it, but the doctor crew. And
of doctors.
The crew of doctors. Yeah. But yeah, I just love it. That's it, guys. I don't know how to describe it.
That's okay.
I'm not good with descriptions. Stop looking at me.
We're in a room together.
House is actually, I'm really bad with watching medical shows, like, other than Scrubs. And House is one of the only other ones I can watch because the issues are so, like, abnormal and, like, out of left field. But shows like Grey's Anatomy or, like ER, it's like, this man has cancer, and I'm like, nope. Like,
I'm too squeamish for those kind of shows.
I
can't do it either.
So I've never watched all of House, but my mom loved it, so I'd watch some of it with her, and I was like, okay, I can deal.
It is, once you start really thinking about it, it is pretty ridiculous that all these people in, where is this at, New Jersey?
I think so.
Have all these one in a million diseases.
Yeah.
Isn't there, like, an ongoing joke that it's never something? Like, they always think it is this one thing, and it never is.
Oh, it's always lupus.
That's what it is.
until it is finally lupus in like season 6 or something.
Okay, that's what it was. I know there was always a joke where it's like, it's not going to be lupus, and then it finally is.
And then when you, if you ever sit down and like watch a bunch of episodes in of House in Order, you realize that he doesn't know what he's doing either. He's just saying, oh, it's this. And he browbeats people until they do it, and then the patient almost dies. Then he's like, okay, well, it's probably this then. Then he browbeats the people to do it until the patient almost dies again. And then it's one of those things where the running joke is that somebody says this one offhand thing, and he's like, oh, it's this. And it turns out to be that.
Right,
it's rule
of threes. Course.
Rule of threes in medical diagnoses.
Oh, gosh. And near-death experience.
Oh, yeah. Good.
God.
That's my number two. Oh, House.
You. Okay, guys. This is it.
Oh, my God.
We're number one.
This is a lot of pressure.
Ooh, boy.
Well, this one, tried and true, number one television show, Roseanne.
Really?
Nice.
100%.
I've never really watched Roseanne.
Oh,
sorry. No, I love that. That's a good
that
reaction.
So
to your number
honest.
One.
That was I. That show. It's like the perfect amount of wholesome, but not in a gross way.
Yeah.
It's real. You know, it's blue collar. Roseanne is so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Her comedy is so smart, and you know, she is herself as a comedian was. So groundbreaking. She is one of my biggest idols. I mean, mm-hmm. one of my biggest role models for sure. She tells it like it is. She tells it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the show also makes fun of itself, you know, like
oh,
with
cool.
the Becky thing. Like, they had a different actress just
that's
like come in.
That's the one
in.
Thing I saw was the identical actress.
Yeah, who was Sarah Chalk
yes,
from
Scrubs.
That's why I
and
thought
my
like,
friend was like, you should watch this because you like
yeah.
this actress.
Yeah, they just like... slip her in out of nowhere, and then seasons later, the original one comes back. You know, they like make a big joke out
oh,
of
that's
it.
That's hilarious. That's
yeah, really no, it's, yeah, it's my number one.
I haven't seen Roseanne since I was 6,
yeah.
maybe? Yeah, but I remember liking it, and John Goodman, I wanted
oh,
John
Goodman
to be my dad.
John Goodman is, love him. Yeah, mm. I just, everyone on that show is so good. And watching the kids grow up,
mm-hmm.
damn it, you know, mm-hmm. like, you can't help but get attached to them
yeah.
and like really give a shit about these kids.
Do you ever sit down and rewatch the whole series in one go like you're doing The Office?
My friend has the whole series mm-hmm. on DVD that he lent me about maybe a year ago, and I watched the whole thing.
Is your friend's name Blockbuster? You didn't return these
no,
DVDs
that is
either?
Mr. Buster
dude,
to
I
you,
wish.
Thank you.
I apologize.
I wish that I had stolen the entire series of Roseanne from Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I wish
we
it was
known
something.
It was going under. We
yeah, I mean, right? If I had that in my arsenal, because it's not on Netflix. I think they used to have like the like hits, you know, like some random episodes. Mm-hmm. But man, what's good is that it is almost always on TV,
mm-hmm.
on
yeah.
some channel, no matter what time it is.
True.
If you can get yourself to a TV with cable, you can probably watch Roseanne. Get your fix. I can.
I assume that after you stole that first DVD from Blockbuster, your picture was thrown up in all Blockbusters.
Yeah, I've been blocklisted.
Oh. Oh, no.
Guys, we do comedy.
Yeah, I'll fuck off.
Yeah. that's a good number one. I kind of want to watch a few episodes now.
Do it.
We'll do. I hear it's almost always on TV.
Almost always, man. No mm-hmm. matter what time.
Right. Good number one.
So my number one is also a television show. It is The Gilmore Girls. And
yeah.
I don't know if either of you have watched it. Then I will just talk about it until we die. So Gilmore Girls is one that I watched consistently growing up. It was on every day at 4 p.m. on ABC Family, and every day at 10 a.m. on ABC Family would be the episode from yesterday in case you missed it. And I would set up my VCR to record every morning before I went to school, and I would come home and watch it while I ate dinner. And if I missed it, I would have my mom set it up at the 10 a.m. in her room, and I would do the 4 p.m. in the basement so that I could watch both so I didn't miss it. And I watched, like, it would cycle through the whole show because it was still airing on the CW when I started watching it, the last season was. But it would cycle through seasons 1 through 5 over and over. So I watched that show all the way through 4 times in the course of my life before, like, finishing it off. And, or
sure.
seasons 1 through 6. And because it would just keep cycling back and...
It's just the most comforting show in the entire world to me. It's relatable in a lot of ways because they, a lot of people are like, they talk too fast and they're too smart. But it's like, people really do have those kinds of complaints. And it's, which is fair, like, if it's not your thing, but they talk like I talk with friends, where it's like, if you know that the other person is going to get your reference, you don't necessarily have to be like, okay, remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Cool. Reference. It's like, if you know that person's going to get it, like with the mother and daughter, it's like, I'm just going to say the line and you're going to know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it doesn't talk down to the audience in that way, in my opinion. It's like, if you don't get the reference, it's like, we're sorry, but they do, and that's why it's funny. And, like, the relationships are super interesting, and the family dynamics I've always loved. And I love that – I always loved shows like – Boy Meets World, I probably should have put on this as well. Because part of the reason that I love Boy Meets World, and the same with Gilmore Girls, is that it's a show that kids can watch, but there are real storylines about the adults in the show. They don't just, like, come in to give you advice and then leave, or, like, appear a couple times. Like, you get very heavily invested in the emotional lives of people who are in their, like, 60s, their 30s, 40s, and their teens.
Yeah.
And so I loved that. And, I mean, Emily in the show, what's her name? Bishop.
Alexis.
No, Alexis Bledel is Rory. She's okay. And, but the acting of the grandmother and, Richard and Emily, who are the grandparents, they're just outstanding. And it's just like a warm hug of a show. And it came, it's just to talk about the revival real quick, it came back on Netflix recently and I watched it. It came out last Thanksgiving. And I was in St. Louis, so I would sneak down. I snuck down to the basement to watch it. And literally, the opening credits start, and it's panning over the town. And I immediately start to I expected to cry, but literally, I was like hugging a pillow. I was like, "Oh God, we're back in Stars Hollow! Oh, they're all here!" And like, it was. I didn't even. Oh, I think that was when I realized how emotionally attached I was to that show, because every time someone came back, I was like, "There's Luke! So, it's my life.
That's great. Were you a fan of the revival?
I was. I note its faults as everyone has.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with it, and I could speak to this longer if this was a Gilmore Girls podcast, but is one, and I've listened to every episode. The Gilmore guys, Demi and Kevin, if you're listening, I saw them when they were here and they were great. But the writer of the show, what she wrote was clearly what she'd wanted to write if the show had continued right after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened 10 years later. So watching a 32-year-old failing at a career, but really convinced she's still got it, but she hasn't gotten a single – in 10 years of graduating, she hasn't gotten, like, a single break in the news industry.
Oh, sure.
And she also is still trying to figure out relationships and, like, also, like, living with her mom. You're like – no. But if she'd been like 23 and was like, I want to be a journalist, but in this year of graduation, I haven't gotten my break yet, I would have been like, yes, real and relatable. And like, so I don't know. I think that was the main hole in it, was that while some of the plot lines accounted for that 10-year break, that one specifically was like, girl, no. Like, I don't think you're supposed to be a journalist.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so it was like, it was really hard to connect to her in that one. But, and I subtly slipped in a bonus number one, which was Wemmy's World, so sorry.
Gilmore Girls is one of those shows that I've always been interested in, and it's on my list, but I don't know. I have things like Doctor Who that I want to watch.
Yeah, no, watch Doctor Who. Like, it's not a show I would ever push on people. I think it's one that if you stumble into it and enjoy it, it will affect you, because it's just one of those shows, but it's such an uber-specific show. I don't even know. Because I can't even be like, it's really funny or really exciting. It's like, it's just, you'll love it. Like, you'll just love it.
Yeah.
But I've never once been like, girl, go watch it. Like, you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Very cool. Number one, Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
Cool. My number one is a little TV show, also a TV show, called Community.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh.
Yes!
I didn't even think about Community.
Oh, it's so good. Have you seen Community?
I watched, like, the first episode.
And you were instantly hooked?
I watched like the first episode.
I fell asleep and then I turned it
is
off.
Is it John Oliver in that though?
He sure is. I love me some John Oliver.
Yeah. So I'm going to take another whack at it.
Sure. Now, you probably heard that it gets so much better because it had to be pitched as a normal sitcom before it could get weird.
It's so cool.
And it gets so weird.
I like that.
And the specific, I don't even know what you want to call them, the specific episodes that make fun of certain things.
Oh, the like genre, like parodies. They're basically parodies.
Yeah, genre. The zombie episode, or the time travel one.
There's this insane cat that needs to be dealt with.
The three holiday specials. Oh, that's so good.
Great job.
The paintball episodes, they're so good.
The timelines episode.
Yeah, fantastic.
The darkest timeline.
Fantastic. No, I just love watching that show. That is a show.
Colleen's faces were like saying these sentences.
Oh my stars and God.
Break me up a piece
of that. I
want to
hear more about your thoughts about it.
I can always throw that on. And for the most part, any episode I could just sit and watch. And I can laugh as much as I did the first time, but I'll notice other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched some of these episodes a dozen times, and I'm not just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so
many B stories that like the Abed helping that couple give birth.
Yeah.
That just happens in the background of a scene. And the Beetlejuice thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so cool.
It's filled with so many Easter eggs, and Dan Harmon had such a specific weird voice, and I'm also trying to get into Rick and Morty now as well.
It's a great show.
Because I hear it's a great show, and I see some episodes, and I like it.
John Oliver's in one of those, too, and it's one of my favorite ones.
Give me that.
Yeah. It's called, what's it called? It's called Anatomy Park.
Okay.
And it's like, it's so funny, and he's like the host of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
It's such a great ensemble, too. Mm-hmm. Everybody has filled his own specific roles, and even though they kind of switch people in and out, it's still... Even though, I don't want to say the worst ensemble, but even people's least favorite ensemble, I still enjoy on some level.
Mm-hmm.
I just really love that show. And it's so good. Like some of the fourth season. I even like some of the sixth season.
I think the sixth season was better than the fourth in a lot of ways. Like, mm-hmm. The fourth, I agree, like, was the misstep season, but it has some good episodes. But
yeah.
The sixth, I felt like I was like, they were like, we might as well just go out with a bang. The only thing I think lacking was Troy.
Yeah.
That was
so sad. His departure episode. I can't.
With the floor is lava. It was so good.
Oh, I'm feeling things right now.
I felt a lot of things. Just like when he met LeVar Burton. It's fine.
No, it's fine. It's fine. guys, we're all sitting around crying right now. Just
sitting and vomiting.
Sitting and vomiting, crying.
Letting it all out.
All right. I'm done crying. I'm going to do my top five in review. My number five is Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
My number four, Friends. My number three, The Avengers. My number two, House. My number one, Community.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen.
My number five, Sweet Home Alabama.
Mm.
Number four, Detroit Rock City. Number three, The Office. Number two, Superbad. And number one, Roseanne.
My number five was Rat Race. My number four, wow.
There's our girl.
I know how numbers work.
so my number five was Rat Race. My number four was I Can Lift a Car. Number three was John Mulaney's New in Town. Number two was Scrubs. My secret number one was Boy Meets World. And my real number one was Gilmore Girls.
And that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you both so much for coming on and doing this very special episode of Five and Out.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this felt good. It was nice to hash it out a little.
Yeah. Walk through some comfort content, walk through some feelings,
and walk through some
vomit.
It's fun to feel the, like, shared comfort and, like saying a name. It's like, I get it. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially when you find something you can bond over, like it's an old TV show or something.
I love that.
But Colleen, what would you like to plug? Where can people find you online? Do you have any shows you'd like to plug? What's going on?
Well, we talked about a Better Brothers Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out to that.
Second.
You can find me on Facebook. My name is Colleen Perry. If you want to add me on Instagram, it's a lot of pictures of dogs.
Because
I hang out with dogs a lot. It's Coco Perry 8.
Is that with C's or K's?
C's. COCOPERRY 8.
Fantastic. And a Better Brothers Grimm is at Second City in the Beat Lounge?
Second City, Judy's Beat Lounge, 9 o'clock on Friday nights.
Friday nights. So make it out to that. The preview was better than a lot of things I've seen.
Woo!
It was, man. And the show itself is an utter delight. I can't emphasize that enough. It's in these troubled times. It's a breath of fresh air.
Sean, do the plugs.
Yes. So I'm. It's an ongoing thing, but this is more if you have kids that you babysit. If you're like, or kids of your own. I'm a part of an improv group called Storytown Improv, and we do we improvise musicals for kids. It's very, very fun. It's every Saturday morning at Stage 773, which is on Belmont. It's very fun. We do birthday parties. I love it. It's goofy and fun. And in the summer, we do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Lincoln Park Zoo, which is very exciting. And it's cool to just draw an audience of, like, families that are just at the zoo. So that's kind of like an ongoing thing. And I'm not in it every week, but it's always a delight. And it's really fun for kids, like, 4 to 12. Like, it's very fun. So it's a very specific plug. But if you know kids or want to –
If you have kids,
if you
as well.
Have them, or if you're planning on finding one,
if you like hanging out with children,
yeah, you know what, yeah,
yeah,
just wanna, like, chill with a child, come on down. My mom will be there, so you'll have another adult to talk to. You can find me on Facebook. It's Sean Buckley. It's SEAN. Most people don't assume that, so you know. Mm-hmm. And Instagram is SBuckley122. It's very original. It's my name and my birthday.
Nice.
And yeah, it's mostly just pictures of me and my friends doing goofy things. So, but it's a good time. So, yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at the Wes Whitaker. You can find all three of us every Sunday night,
yes,
8 p.m. in Donnie's Skybox at, yes, Second City. The show's called, I guess, Tiny Batman versus Bagel Country presents Sugar, We're Going Down Singing. It's a lot of fun.
So fun.
It's honestly one of my favorite things that I've been a part of in the city. Almost said a fart of in the city.
I know! I felt so much joy because you almost said fart. Oh, my God. Did you see my little schoolgirl beam?
Yes, I did.
You almost said fart.
You almost said fart.
So please come out to see us there. But with all that being said, I'm Wes.
I'm Colleen.
I'm Sean.
That was five.
And we're out.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners to oneofus.net, be a subscriber. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, being a subscriber is it. The long-term benefits of being a subscriber at oneofus.net have been proven by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Watch TV, but not too much. Remember to cast a wide net of types of shows you watch. Even reality TV may have the occasional gem to offer. Don't feel too bad that you have trouble finding friends that share your interests. You are amazing, and you should love what you love. Sure, in 20 years you'll look back at your favorite stuff and cringe at some of it, but it will be with an affectionate smile. By the way, I have no doubt that you probably look amazing. Even if you haven't found that person yet, if you believe in yourself, somebody is going to love you. I'm sure anime is great. I don't personally watch a lot of it, although some of our staff certainly does. You'll feel better in realizing that my lack of interest in it isn't me critiquing the quality of anime, and affects your love of it in no way. Tony is probably not gonna show up. Yeah, we wish he would too. Love that guy. Taking it personal when someone likes something you hate or hates something you love in entertainment is understandable when young. But as you get older, trust me, there will be little that will make you feel more embarrassed about yourself than cruel things you said on someone's Facebook page about DC versus Marvel or whatever at 3 a.m. At least hopefully. Write. Create. Do your own thing, and if you don't have the time, find the time. Try out the shows you haven't given a shot to yet on our network, like Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, Somebody Likes It, or Deliberations of Doom. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But seriously, trust me on the subscription.